You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload. We're all amped up on donuts and Surge and ready to tell you about some pop culture news. I'm Cody.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Sam, and we have our special fifth guest, the City of Marion Sanitation Department, who is currently drilling a hole in the road right in front of our studios, so...
Don't be alarmed.
Yeah.
Another not of ghosts. Marion City's endeavors to drill directly into the bowels of hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd like to think it's that Ghostbuster river of slime that they're digging. Yeah. Enjoy.
Yeah, just right in front of your house.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Literally. Yeah. It's enjoy the ambiance. Yeah, some ASMR stuff going on out there, like the jackhammers and the... yesterday it was a buzzsaw. They were buzzsawing. That was fun.
I'm waiting to get catcalled by the construction workers.
So am I.
Cody, you don't have the buns for that.
That's true.
All right, so hey, folks, we have a great show for you this week. We were on the break for a minute, but we're back with you this week with another show. We have a bunch of news, but first, let's get into some things we've been checking out. I can do my check-it-outs real quick.
Go for it.
Okay, I've actually checked out quite a bit. First off, I've checked out tech support. Yes, this is pulling back the curtain just a little tiny bit, but this episode almost didn't happen. We spent the last, what was it, about 20 minutes, half hour or so, trying to troubleshoot what was going on with my recording PC. So I'm feeling real good about getting all technical and fixing stuff.
At least it was just a bad wire.
It was just a bad wire and not anything super, super
not
serious.
Not an entire hard drive meltdown.
Oh, man. Oh, man, that wouldn't have been the only thing that would have melted down, let me tell you. Okay, so anyway, other things I've been checking out. Here within the past week or so, Street Fighter V has rolled out their new biggest update. It's a free update for people who already have the game. It's
because it's the least they can do.
It's the honestly, it's arcade mode. It is the least they can do.
Yeah.
But no, I've had it long enough to play a couple of matches and play like one or two rounds in arcade mode, and it's a lot of fun. It's exactly what the game needed when it launched 2 years ago.
Has it really been that long?
Yes, it's been that long. They're on the third season of Fighters, like DLC Fighters already. But no, I've been playing around with it a little bit. It's fun. It's cool. They also rolled out Sakura.
Which is great.
She's great. She is currently free right now. It's what they've been doing with a lot of their DLC characters. They're free to play and test out for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then you have to buy the character and, you know, and you get like special costumes and stuff that go along with it. So, I mean, it's kind of cool. But Sakura plays almost exactly like old Sakura. Her costume has changed. She doesn't have her main costume is not the schoolgirl costume anymore. She works at a game center, like a arcade in Japan
isn't,
now.
Isn't she graduated from high school at this point?
She has graduated from high school. Yeah. She has like just graduated from high school. And that's what her whole story mode is. She's trying to figure out whether she wants to continue on the life of fighting or if she wants to actually grow up and have like a normal life. And then someone mentions the name Ryu, and she goes, "Oh my God, where? I gotta fight him." And that's basically it.
That one tweet.
Yeah, that one tweet. Honestly, that's kind of how her story mode ends a little bit.
I've seen the ending.
Mm-hmm. That's almost exactly how it ends. There's no joke to it. That's how it goes.
She wants to have a baby with Ryu.
And Ryu doesn't want to until she says, "Well, hey, what if you train the baby in fighting?" And he goes, "Let me get back to you on that." That's it.
Great. But Ryu is a not funny Goku.
Pretty much, yeah. So
he doesn't really know anything but fighting.
All he knows is the fight. That's all he knows.
I bet he doesn't even know how to make a baby.
I mean, I just punch here, right?
Yeah. I could go. There's another joke I thought of, but that's not radio appropriate. So we'll keep going.
We're really pushing the envelope with this. Anyway, along with that, there's also like a special mode where you have like challenges, like monthly or weekly challenges, where you have to beat like really kind of amped up villain characters in like special circumstances or whatever, and you win special. They call them like cameo like characters, but they're really like specialty skin packs for the different characters that are already in the game. But they're of other Capcom characters. Like there is a Captain Commando costume for Nash,
which
looks
rad.
Excellent. There's a beautiful Joe for Rasheed, which really fits. Wow.
They're actually like
acknowledging that game.
Yeah, that exists.
Yeah. And I guess they're going to be doing costumes for just about every character that references other Capcom games. The one I'm...
Frank West, Chun-Li.
She's covered Wars before.
Yeah. Now, the other costume that is being released is a special Akuma costume. It's Shin Akuma with the white hair, and he's constantly on fire. And that's really cool, but you'll have to beat him on, like, super, like, mega, ultra hard mode or whatever, which I... will never do because I haven't touched this game in over a year and a half, and I am incredibly rusty. I honestly don't know if I'm going to stick with Street Fighter V beyond just getting the free updates when they roll out. Although Sagat is looking pretty good. I have always been a Sagat main when I play.
Get real good at Sagat and then go to 16-bit on their tournament night.
That's what I got to do. Yeah, that's what I got to do. Well, yeah, and I have to invest in a fight stick, you know.
Yeah,
be a pro. Although I've recently been introduced to a new style of fight stick that some pro level fighting game players are using.
It's called the NES Advantage.
That's exactly it. It's the Power Glove. It's so bad. No, it's a fight stick, but there's no D-pad. There's no stick
to
it.
It's
all buttons.
Yeah,
because there is a millisecond of lag or read error if you use a stick. So if you want like precision, like the second you press left, it like registers left and no other directions, like pinpoint accuracy
it's
kind of stuff.
It's gotta be hard to do like quarter circles and stuff with buttons though.
Yeah, you just kind of have to play like a piano almost. Like,
I was just thinking like that's some like hardcore like Beethoven level like concerto stuff.
Yeah, but have you seen anyone play using one of those things? It is insane. It looks like it.
Can you do the same thing with a mechanical keyboard?
Probably. More than likely. I mean, at that point, that's basically what it becomes. Yeah. Beyond...
You can get a children's mechanical keyboard with real big novelty keys.
What I need is like a fight pad that looks like the original Street Fighter 1. Like arcade machine.
Just two sticks?
No, it was the original arcade machine had two soft pads on it that you punched.
That's right.
To register punches and kicks. And I could roll up to the VGC or not VGC, the Evo fighting with my giant like arcade. Like I just start punching.
I hope Anniversary Collection on the Switch comes with Punch Joy-Cons.
Oh, that would be great. Oh, that would be so great. I actually found a Nintendo Switch fight pad online. Has a home button and everything, so it works. You know, you could use it. You could play Breath of the Wild with a fight stick if you wanted. I don't know
why
you'd want to.
Art of Fighting 2 the other day because that just came out.
Oh, yeah. There. Yeah, what do you think?
It is so hard.
It is.
The difficulty is nuts. I can't even win the first fight.
SNK games are notoriously difficult back then, especially back then. If you get to the final boss, I mean, the final boss was how they made their money. They're a quarter munchers, basically. Those games were difficult.
They have very nice, really big sprites, though.
They do, yes. That is the other thing about SNK. Their sprite work is top tier.
It's better than Street Fighter 2.
I agree. Everyone would agree with you on that one, for sure.
It's not better than Street Fighter Alpha.
Or Third Strike. Have you ever played any Third Strike?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. Third Strike, it looks...
I'm kind
very,
of stoked
like,
for that Anniversary Collection, honestly.
I am, too. Absolutely.
And I'm not a fighting game guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to pick that up and get bopped online in all of those games, for sure. Beyond Street Fighter, because I've talked too much about fighting games, I started watching, or rewatching rather, an old TV series that was on, I think it was on like the USA Network back in 2006, 2007. Have you guys ever heard of a show called The 4400?
No.
Nope.
I know of it. I've never watched it.
Okay. Mr. 3000 with 3000. Was that Bernie Mac?
Yeah,
playing baseball.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sequel, Mr. 4000.
Yeah. Well, no, the 4400 was kind of sort of Heroes about a year before Heroes started. It was super melodramatic like Heroes, but the whole conceit was, I'm right outside of Seattle, Washington. One day, out of the blue, there was a blinding flash of light, and 4,400 people just appeared.
Huh.
And as it turns out, those people were all plucked out of various points in time. And no one remembered where they were for all this time. There were some people from, like, World War II. There were some people from Korea, from the Korean War times. There were some people from, like, the 70s and the, you know, all the way up to, like, someone who disappeared 2 days prior. And when they came back, some of them started developing superhuman abilities. Not all of them, but some of them did. And the whole first season arc, everyone was thinking, okay, aliens abducted these people, did experiments on them. Why did they do experiments on them? I'm going to spoil a show that's been off the air for 10 years. At the end of the first season, the big twist was they weren't picked up by aliens. They were picked up by future humans and for some reason were given powers in order to shape past events to change their dystopian future.
Huh.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of neat.
It's really fascinating. And the show runs really quick. The first season is only 5 episodes long. It was presented as a miniseries. They're hour-long episodes, so you can... And the first episode's 2 hours long. So, I mean, in a couple days, you can knock out the entire first season. Then after that, they go into 13-episode seasons. The series kind of ends on a cliffhanger after the fourth season. And
that never happens.
It never happens, right. And to be honest, it kind of... The show kind of peters off about halfway into the third season. You kind of lose interest. It gets kind of weird.
Heroes.
When does Bernie Mac play baseball?
Constantly. You know, that was his power when he came back from the future, alien people, humans, gave him super baseball powers.
And that's how he got that 3,000.
That's how he got to 3,000. That's...
Why are you making references to a movie that no one watched and no one cared about?
Oh, someone cared about it.
Because it's funnier than making reference to a movie everybody's seen.
Yeah, very true. Good point.
It's coming from the guy who hasn't seen movies.
That's true.
So
we watched a movie.
Okay.
Last night. We watched Perfect Blue, which is an anime movie that's hardly an anime. And it's real weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Weird anime? You don't say.
Yeah. Not in the... It wasn't weird in an anime way. It could have been a live action movie. As a matter of fact, it was supposed to be before events happened that made them go to animation.
Mm.
But it's about a girl who's a pop idol singer that decides she wants to pivot on that and become an actress.
Okay.
And she's got a stalker that's going crazy because they're mad that she's switching from being a pop idol.
This sounds really familiar. When was it made?
1998.
Okay, yeah, this sounds... I've never seen it because...
There's nothing really anime about
it. I know, I understand.
There's not even weird hair color.
Okay, but I've... really, not even weird hair cover. But no. But they gotta have blue hair. This sounds really familiar.
I've heard that Black Swan steals a lot of things from it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, her... reality between her acting in this show and it's hard to describe, but she has trouble telling the difference between reality and what she's acting on this show and events with the stalker, and it all kind of mishmashes together into a really interesting mind bending.
Really explain to you if what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I've seen this. This sounds really familiar. Like the animation part, I don't remember it being anime, but I...
It's barely anime.
It's really well animated and really realistic-looking animation.
Yeah, like this plot sounds like it sounds really super familiar. You know what? I've probably heard someone talk about it on a podcast.
Probably.
Honestly, more than likely, that's probably what it is.
It's kind of a classic movie.
Yeah, that's probably what it is, but it sounds really, really familiar.
It's really good if you're in the mood for a real mind-bender.
Cool.
And I won't spoil the... Because it's a pretty good twist. I didn't see it coming. Did you? You got to say no into
the
microphone.
There you go. You can't hear my head rattle.
You didn't hear. Other than that, I played the open beta for Final Fantasy Dissidia NT, the Final Fantasy fighting game.
Oh, okay.
Because it's fighting game day, apparently.
And it is, apparently.
I played it for about 15, 20 minutes, and I hated it.
The Did you play a Sephiroth?
No, I didn't. That might have been the problem.
That might have been the problem.
You gotta use that longsword.
I played as Bartz.
Farts.
But it was awful. It was a lot like Pokken.
Okay.
Tournament.
So it's an arena fighter.
Convoluted and terrible.
So like Pokken, like an arena fighter. Yeah.
But there's just way too much dumb stuff going on.
You know what? That sounds like the Naruto fighting games, because they're also arena fighters with way too much stuff.
Well, not all of them were. I mean, the first Ultimate Ninja stuff were side-scrolling fighting games.
I'm talking about the 3D ones. They're arena fighters, and they're not very good.
Yeah. You can't just regular fight. You got to knock down your opponent's bravery meter all the way down until it's broken, and then you can do HP damage to actually...
You got to break them.
Yeah, to actually beat them.
Really?
And all the fights are 3-on-3.
Okay.
At the same time. So, like, 3 guys against 3 guys at the same time.
At the same time.
And there's crystals that appear on the maps that when you break those, then you can do your summon move, which gives everybody on your team a big buff.
This is just a lot of breaking.
Yeah. I mean, it's too complicated.
Sounds like it.
And not good. There's, like, air canceling and all kinds of, like, techniques that are obnoxious. Like, I just want a game where you just beat up Final Fantasy characters.
You mean like Urguy's God Bless the Ring?
Oh, God. That stupid game with the menu's noise.
Yeah!
they made that sound every single time you changed any kind of menu in that game.
Nice. Like, I haven't played that in so long, I don't remember anything about it.
Oh, it's rancid.
Okay, that game is really, really weirdly done, because it's half fighting game and then half weird RPG going through a dungeon.
They threw an RPG in at the last second.
Where you're not
second.
Even playing one of the characters from the fighting roster.
Yeah.
I thought that was Tobal.
No, Tobal. It's Urguy's was done by the guys who did Tobal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the only thing I remember about it is it has Final Fantasy characters in it, but it's not a Final Fantasy fighting game.
No, right. It had Cloud, and it had Sephiroth.
And Tifa, I think.
Oh, yep.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Because that game came out around the same time
as 7 was still hot.
Yeah.
Tifa should be in Dissidia.
DLC.
But she's not.
Probably
yeah.
DLC. Everything's got to have DLC.
The character choices they did pick were pretty good, though.
Yeah. Okay.
And they look really cool. The graphics are really good.
Really
it's really nice renditions of a lot of classic characters.
Mm-hmm.
You can play as the Cloud of Darkness, the boss of Final Fantasy III.
Oh, nice.
Who's just like a big naked lady, mostly.
Bouncing around.
I mean, Bartz was... It looks like you can customize your characters a lot, but you can't do it in the beta. What?
So she has like a pasty.
Yeah, she does.
It's like the Lil' Kim thing.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Yeah.
But she actually looks almost identical to the... I forget the guy that does the art. Used to do the art for Final Fantasy games.
Oh,
they're really
God,
good.
Yeah, they're really good stuff.
Not
yeah.
the
same belts. Guy who did the Vampire Hunter D art.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the belts and zippers guy, but the other guy.
Yeah.
The original person.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many? Speaking of which, how many belts and zippers are there in this game?
No more than what would be there already. They
gotcha. I mean, it depends
okay.
on the character, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, like Lulu.
Most of Final Fantasy X.
Yeah. A dress literally made of belts.
Yeah,
she's not in it. She should be in it also.
DLC.
You can play as Titus's dad, Jekt.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't care.
But he's there.
Who cares about Jekt?
I know, there's about 50 other Final Fantasy X characters that would be better than Jekt, but
can
he's
you
there.
Play as Waka and
no.
his Blitzball?
No.
Okay.
What about Vivi?
No.
Oh, come on.
Can be Onion Knight.
What about a Cactar? What about the Hyptar?
DLC.
DLC, that's it.
You can play as Onion Knight.
Okay.
That's Garland, the guy from Final Fantasy I.
Yeah. Mm. What about Kefka?
Yeah.
No, of course, of course.
You gotta have
Kefka
Palazzo.
That weird clown guy.
He's like Final Fantasy Joker.
Yeah, he is pretty much, yeah. Speaking of DLCs and fighting games, because it is fighting game day apparently, did you hear about the final character count for Dragon Ball FighterZ? And I say that because there's a big Z at the end.
Which no one could still tell how you're supposed to pronounce the title of this game.
It's Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the official. Yeah. Anyway, there is only 10 playable characters when the game finally launches, and there are going to be eight DLC characters within the first month.
Nice.
Not so nice because you're basically paying for the game twice because season pass for those first eight characters is about $15 less than the cost of the game when you first buy it. So you're basically buying two games and getting one game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That crap, that really ticks me off, man. I really wanted to play that game, too.
I wish, you know, I like DLC when you have a complete game and then they have add-ons, like they did with Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild was a complete game, you know, like other games where you have the game and it's done, and then there's DLC.
Why does it seem like they only do this with fighting games?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just fighting games.
Because they know that there's a certain
number.
It's easier
with fighter games.
It's super easy with fighting games because you're just paying for a character, and it means that they can put out a half-made game with only six characters and then roll out more as they get done one at a time. Also, they know that no matter how much they charge for their fighting game characters, there's a certain population within the fighting community that either are professional fighting game players, because there's a ton of them, or idiots who think they are professional fighting game players, of which I used to be one of them. And they know that those are guaranteed sales day one. I mean, why put out a game with 20 characters for $60 when they could put out a game with 8 characters for $60 and then charge 15 or 20 for per 5 characters extra
and have revenue
over the next,
have revenue for a whole year.
The whole evergreen game kind of model. Again, I like it when games are done and then they have DLC to add on. I don't like it when there's a half-made game that is released and then you have to pay extra for the rest of the game. That's frustrating to me.
Hey, you want that story mode? It's going to cost you.
Actually, the story mode was free for Street Fighter, and it's going to be free for Dragon Ball FighterZ as well.
Is it going to launch with story mode?
It is going to launch with story mode. Yep.
I don't think anybody's going to make
so,
that mistake
since
again.
They're throwing in a character who's not even in the...
Oh, yeah, Android 21.
Majin Android 21.
She starts as Android 21, and she is an Akira Toriyama character. He actually designed her, so she counts. This game is canon. I don't know anything about Dragon Ball, so... But apparently it counts as... It's like an extended episode of the show is what the story mode is going to be, essentially.
I mean, I still want to play it.
Oh, yeah, I definitely want to play it. The beta is still up on the... Was it PS4, I think, right now?
I could have played it.
Well, you could have downloaded it. They've been having some pretty severe server issues where no one could actually get in to play the beta. But it's coming out within the next week or two, I think.
Yeah.
By the end of the month, the game's going to be out. And I feel bad because the Street Fighter arcade mode is going to get eaten alive by it. And Dissidia is going to get eaten alive by it as well.
Hey, you know,
well,
Dragon
it's
Ball.
Bad, so.
Yeah, so.
Well, it's bad.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the other movie we watched?
What other movie did we watch?
The Polka King.
Oh, we did watch that. It was a good movie. It's a new Netflix original movie starring Jack Black and Jenny Slate that takes a true story about a Pennsylvania polka.
Jean Levon.
Yeah, a guy who, like, gets involved. Not he... starts like this weird Ponzi scheme where he gets old people to invest in his polka business.
Oh, nice.
And it's a really good movie, and it's all 100% true.
That's awesome.
And it based off a documentary, which is also on Netflix that we kind of want to watch because it is insane.
Yeah. Like,
the way they portrayed it, he seems like a really nice guy. It was just kind of an accident that got out of control.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He's just trying to provide for his family, it seems like.
Yeah. Like that scene at the end where he... I don't know. Is it spoiler?
Yes.
Okay, never mind.
Because it's kind of like, what the...
Yeah. But it was really good and pretty funny.
I mean, if you want to watch Jack Black perform polka music,
yeah,
it's pretty fantastic.
That's okay. That's great.
Do an accent for the whole movie.
Which is pretty dead on.
Yeah.
What we heard from the original guy.
Huh. Okay.
And he's pulling his Jack Black faces while he's singing, of
course. Oh, sure. Of course. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. That definitely sounds really cool. I'm going to have to check that out for sure.
Like, I'm not going to spoil the end, but there's a part at the end where he's singing a song and it melds seamlessly into the actual Jan Levon singing the same song, and it's insane.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. That's excellent. Very cool. Well, Josh, we don't have a whole lot of time, but do you have anything that you've checked out in the 2 weeks that you have been gone, sir?
I've mostly just been playing Wolfenstein.
Oh, okay.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I have, too.
Is that I beat...
Still good?
I beat New Blood. Old Blood.
Me too.
Old Blood, same as the New Blood.
I beat Old Blood, and then I've started playing New Order.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go back to New Order, because I never finished it.
I like it. I mean, man, that game is just so brutal.
Yeah, it's better than Old Blood. The story's better, and... Has a lot more going on.
Old Blood was almost a remake of Return to Castle Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
Just with the stuff from New Order kind of thrown in and retrofied.
Since this is kind of a separate universe from the original Wolfenstein universe.
Yeah, yeah,
so, yeah. So, yeah, it is very much kind of a retelling of Return to Castle Wolfenstein. It's even got cable cars and stuff in it, like in the original.
Oh, man.
Not the original, but...
Those stupid zombies.
Yeah, it's got zombies at the end.
When they started popping up, I was like, oh, look, Nazi zombies. That's not a played trope.
Yeah. Wolfenstein did it first, though. And they're cool because when they die, then they get up and they burst into flames, too.
Well, there you go.
Half the fun was doing, like, the sneaking bits after they revealed the zombie thing. And I could just kill a guy. I could just shoot a guy in the chest, and then he'd turn into a zombie and go start attacking other people.
Yeah, the zombies don't...
They don't discriminate.
Yeah, they don't discriminate.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool.
And it didn't ruin my sneaking bonus of trying to kill commanders.
Yeah, actually, I don't know. I didn't play it on the easiest mode, but I was actually a lot better at sneaking in Old Blood than I was the other ones. I don't know what it was.
I don't know. I just got really good. I headshot everybody, no matter what gun I've got.
There's a lot of good guns in that game, too. I like the Schlock Hammer. It's kind of like an auto shotgun.
Oh, that... When you get two of them, though,
yeah.
the hallways just turned a hamburger. I mean,
ah, awesome.
I like when he sawed off the shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
oh. Oh, look what I can do.
I like the big power armor guys. When you get them to explode, it's what I imagine like a can of Hamburger Helper in a microwave would be like.
That certainly paints a visual.
The games are super visual.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Some of the, like, execution sneak moves with the metal pipe.
Yeah. I learned from this game that if you ever need to escape from a Nazi prison, all you really need is two metal pipes.
Well, there you go.
And upper body strength.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I think I've seen a video of that scene. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, climbing walls with pipes.
He spends a good portion of the game shirtless, too.
They even make comments about
it. Yeah. to match the old Wolfenstein box art where he's like... Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah. I think of Shane playing Metal Gear, making Snake shirtless the entire time.
Metal Gear!
I did play through Metal Gear 2 again recently. It's a good game.
Oh, good. Good.
Still. Even better when it's after the fact and you're not... upset you're not playing a Snake anymore.
You mean Plissken?
Yeah, Iroquois Plissken.
All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news.
One, two, three, four, five. We're back from the song, and we're doing it live.
Okay, I think you have to do that.
I think you just did.
I just did. We're back.
All right. That was, that was Mambo number 5 by Lou Bega. Samantha, why did we play that song?
For some reason, I woke up with it stuck in my head as soon as I woke up, and now you all must suffer.
And now it's in everybody's head. You're welcome.
And now you must suffer. You're such a caring, loving soul.
Oh, yes. All right, so hey, let's get into a little bit of news here. First up, Nintendo had another surprise after their mini direct from last week. Yes, that's right. We're going to talk about video games and Nintendo stuff.
It's barely video games.
You're right. So yeah, what is it, Cody?
It's a new first of all, it's for kids. So it's not for you.
Hey, I want to do it. Yeah. I want to play it.
It's like a craft and game put together where you make things out of cardboard, and then slot your Joy-Cons into them, and they work as little gizmos and toys and machines. Like, yeah. You could build... The first example they use is you build a little piano.
Yeah.
And it works with the IR cameras on the end of the Joy-Cons will detect the movement of the pieces in the piano and make a little...
Make the piano play. Yeah, it actually makes it work. The project is called Nintendo Labo, or Labo, is it
I think it's Labo.
Labo, okay. So, yeah, it's called Nintendo Labo, and I think it looks really cool. It is for kids, although I'm not going to lie, that robot game looks pretty great. It's
Project Giant Robot from the Wii U. They're using it as part of this, apparently.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, no one played it then, so why not?
It never came out.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And if you notice on the video, the like leg straps and the arm straps where they had the cord running from the robot backpack, they had a lot of extra slack wrapped around that kid's like hands and feet. So it's definitely designed for at least a medium-sized human.
They know adults are going to do it.
Yeah.
They said it was for kids and kids at heart.
And that's us.
Yeah.
That's us.
I'm glad I'm a medium-sized human.
Yeah.
And you nerds that can't let kids have their things.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's really cool. Not only is it kind of a buildable kind of peripheral for all these things, you can actually take apart parts of it. And it shows the inner workings of, like, how it works. So it's a teaching tool as well. It's a engineering tool, almost.
Yeah, it's educational for little engineers, which is cool.
It's excellent.
And there's no plastic that's going to fill landfills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, the cardboard bit is, like, the one thing that I've seen people backlash on with this. Some people who have not looked into this project very deeply are complaining that, oh, Nintendo's charging us for cardboard. We're just buying cardboard now. They're going to charge us $80 for cardboard. And that's dumb.
Yeah.
That's a dumb argument. I'm sorry.
It comes with a game. It comes with a game,
which their games usually run $60.
Yeah.
And all the cardboard is like pre-cut. It's like, it looks really like sturdy. It's like professional grade stuff. And yeah, I don't know. Just let the kids have their fun. Let them have their thing.
Let me be a robot, darn it.
Yeah.
I want to stomp around my house.
You don't need cardboard to do that.
I could stomp around with a purpose.
Okay.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
Instead of kicking over stacks of things and pretending I'm a Godzilla.
Yeah. Anyway, the series is coming out with two main sets to start off with. It's like a variety pack that has it's like a piano, a fishing rod game.
RC
thing.
Oh, yeah, the little RC car things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a, does that have the house?
Yeah.
And, God, what was the other one?
There's
like a little man that you make fall over, I guess. I don't know. They didn't really do a good job presenting that one.
It's supposed to be like Quap, kind of.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Uses the sense.
Rumble.
The motors to make him move, kind of like how it does, like the little bug thing. It's basically like a hex bug, but made of cardboard.
Yeah, but you can turn it left and right.
Yeah.
So that's in one set. The other set is just the robot game, but there's a lot more to it.
Gotta make the big backpack.
That one's $79.
Yeah.
And the variety pack is $69.
It's $69, and it comes out on April 20th. I think we could all agree that's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
It looks fun, and I want to play it. It's very nice for Nintendo to get inventive with their thing.
This is a very Nintendo
it's like
thing.
The most Nintendo.
A peak Nintendo.
Yeah.
For sure.
Weird controllers. Their own weird controllers.
Yeah, basically.
And nobody saw it coming. It just came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Nintendo.
Yes.
I don't know if I'll get it. I mean, that's kind of steep. Although, it's tempting. It's very tempting.
The robot game. I'm really kind of thinking about the variety pack. I can live without a cardboard keyboard. It's very neat, but I could live without it. That robot game, though.
How about we just pull our money together and we'll all play robot?
Yeah. There we go. Although the other thing I'm wondering is how long is it going to be after the game is released? Will there be a 3D printer version where you can print plastic parts to build your own robot backpack?
For somebody like hacks the plans,
basically
reverses engineering.
They're probably already working on it.
More than likely, yeah. But no, sounds like fun. It's going to be good.
It's more stuff to do with the Switch.
Yep. That's what it needs.
And Netflix. Nintendo, put Netflix on Netflix.
Apparently, they want to do that right away, if at all.
Netflix announced first they said they had no plans,
mm-hmm.
and then people freaked out, and then Netflix said they're looking into it, which I don't know, what is there to look into? You make Netflix on the Switch.
I mean, it's on the 3DS. It was on the Wii. It's on the Wii U.
But how they're probably looking into how many users actually use the service on it. I don't know. Hulu's going to be on it.
Hulu's already on it.
Yeah,
so then I don't see why they wouldn't. But then again, Nintendo, at least for the first year, they really focused on it being a game system and not a multimedia device.
Yeah.
And I think that was smart for the first year. But
that time is over.
That time is over. They need to kind of branch out. I totally agree. Yeah. I agree. Okay, so up next, what is Hogwarts Mystery? I have no idea why this is on the board.
It's a new Harry Potter mobile game coming out where you get to do Hogwarts yourself. You get to make a character. You get to get sorted. You get to...
Oh, is this the one made by Niantic?
No.
Okay good. Because it wouldn't work.
It's made by a company called Jam City and Portkey Games, which is Warner Brothers' imprint to specifically make Harry Potter games.
Yeah, Portkey, that's a thing. That's a Harry Potter thing. Sure.
But they haven't really... There was a new video for it, and it showed some of the characters and, character models.
Okay.
And it looks really good. There's a really good cartoony borderline Sims, but in a good way.
Oh, okay.
Look to
good.
The characters.
Good.
But check the video out. It's pretty neat, and I'm kind of excited for it.
Oh, excellent. It's
the first time we've ever been able to play a Harry Potter game where you're not playing as,
Harry Potter. He's not even in it, they said.
That's fine.
Yeah, there's no Harry Potter in this Harry Potter game.
Honestly, in my opinion, the Harry Potter universe is more interesting than Harry Potter himself.
It apparently takes place while Nymphadora Tonks and somebody else is still going to Hogwarts. I forget the other person's name.
Okay, so it'd probably be the halfway point between Harry's parents and Harry Potter, basically. Okay.
I only remember Tonks because she's cool.
Yeah, she had the color-changing hair and everything. And the pig nose.
Probably Tonks and probably...
Wouldn't be Luke.
David Tennant's character.
No.
Because he's
Wasn't he a teacher?
No. David Tennant's character was Barty Crouch Jr.
But he seems to be about the same age as Tonks.
Yeah, but he was a Death Eater, though.
But he had to go to school.
True.
But basically what they're saying is that the canon isn't that important
in this game. It's not.
It's
really
about
not.
You and what you want to do in Hogwarts.
Yeah, it's the closest we're going to get to us being at Hogwarts.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, who hasn't wanted a game like that?
Yeah. Now, it's...
All those people who wanted a Harry Potter MMO.
Yeah.
That's essentially what we're going
to... I would have played that.
Oh, I know, right?
I would have played and then immediately given up on that.
Well, yeah, I would have played... Let me rephrase that. I would have played that for a month. Yeah. That's usually how MMOs go with me.
That's about right. I wonder how many users are going to name their character Harry Potter, all one word, with a bunch of random numbers strung behind it.
The real Harry Potter. XXX, the real Harry Potter, 69XXX.
Underscore. H at sign RRY P0TT3R
plus 3R.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, that Voldemort fan movie came out too.
I didn't know there was a Voldemort.
Yeah, it looks it's on YouTube. It's called Voldemort Rise of the Air or something like that. It looks really
Brink
good.
Of the Wind. That sounds like a Zelda, actually. The Legend of Zelda, Break of the Wind.
You know, that was Spinal Tap's second album. They got together I guess it's about 10 years ago now, the guys from Spinal Tap, and they did a second album, and it's called Break the Wind. Yeah. Nice. And it's a picture of the three of them, standing on the cover, and there's a flag floating behind them, very clearly being blown. Yeah, that's right.
Anyway,
but
it's a fan film about young Voldemort. So back when he's still Tom Riddle, and it's the quality on it is really really good. Hmm. Like it's kind of up there with
Warner Brothers, like, quality.
So good that maybe they should have made their own movie.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people says, like, hey, Warner Brothers, give these people a job.
Yeah. Or, like, you know, come up with their own characters and do their own thing. Stop aping off of everybody else's properties. I don't know.
Do something that won't get you sued.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. They're probably not going to be able to monetize their video on YouTube anyway.
Yeah.
With all the new YouTube things, which actually kind of rolls into the next topic. This is actually kind of a little bit older news. We kind of wanted to wait a little bit on it.
It's been on our list for about 3 weeks now.
Yeah, and it's actually a good thing that we kind of waited on it because there's been a little more development.
Now we've gotten to the point where there was ramifications for the thing.
Yeah, so this takes a little bit of setting up. YouTube sucks.
Lately.
Okay, the YouTube environment when it comes to, like, preferred, I don't want to call them celebrities, influencers. It's a really crummy way of talking about people who got famous for doing stupid, dumb crap on them.
YouTube personalities.
They weren't even originally from YouTube. They were Vine. The Vine guy, which Vine is... Vine influencers are the worst.
They're the worst. Anyway, there's this dude. His name is Logan Paul. The dude sucks. All of his videos are awful. It's just him screaming and yelling and making a fool out of himself and being really, like...
obnoxious.
Obnoxious and racist. Like, super racist in a lot of his videos. And,
You know what he reminds me of? The guy from American Vandal, Dylan?
Yes. He is a frat bro who does dumb scream videos for tweens.
Yeah.
That is what this guy is. And
he does Jackass stunts that are less clever than the stunts they would do on Jackass.
Yeah. Yeah. And
he's one of the Wayback Boys.
He's one of the Wayback Boys. That's right. Yeah.
You know, baby farts.
Baby farts. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, this guy, he is a garbage human, and he recently went to put up a bunch of videos from his trip to Japan on his channel. Most of them were pretty racist, where he would, like, buy a Game Boy Color from the Akihabara region and then smash it on the ground in front of a bunch of people because, hey, Japanese people love Nintendo, look what I'm doing. And then, like, what else did he do?
Run around in the street in a kimono and a conical hat.
Yeah, that's... Okay, but that's like...
It's not even the worst thing he did on this trip.
No, the worst thing he did...
We're building up to it. The one that made everybody super mad.
Yes, this is... Yeah. There is a... It's like a forest, right?
Yeah.
It's a national park at the base of Mount Fuji.
And if I would have been smart enough, I would have looked at what its Japanese name is.
It's,
Starts with an A.
Yeah, it's, Arikanara Forest or something like that. They did a horror movie about it recently.
Yeah. I'm sure they did.
Which is not very...
It's not tasteful.
Tasteful either.
No. Either. We're dancing around it. This...
They call it a suicide forest.
This park is known primarily for
people large disappearing number of people and or committing suicide.
Commit suicide in this forest.
So it's much like the thing. Fact that there are volunteers who routinely travel the forest looking for people either to...
For the story or for whatever.
No, or to convince them not to...
To convince them not to kill themselves or to find them and give their families peace.
Yeah. Anyway, we're...
Yes.
We got to drill down on this. This YouTube dude...
Yes. Drill down on this.
As the drill outside is drilling down on this. This dude, Logan Paul, he's a real garbage human. He went and did a vlog from this forest, and he videotaped an actual suicide.
Not a dead guy.
He found a dead guy.
The suicide had already happened.
Yeah, and posted it on YouTube, and it was super, super bad and really super, super distasteful.
And he tried to play it off like it was mental health, like...
PSA.
PSA.
But
After the fact. Well, during the video, too.
Okay.
But it really just was him gawking at a dead body.
Left it up for a long time. YouTube didn't do anything about it.
The thumbnail had the dead body in the background, too, which was ridiculous.
It was awful. He eventually took he was getting too much heat. He ended up taking it down and then put up an apology video or some stupid stuff like that.
That was not very convincing and also monetized.
It was also monetized. That's a big problem because he made a bunch of money off of...
And YouTube promoted it. It was on the top. The apology video was on the top of
the other video was it was in their promoted section as well.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem is YouTube didn't do anything about this right away. This was a problem. And YouTube eventually stepped in. They have disassociated themselves from this Logan Paul.
They pulled a PewDiePie
dude
on him.
Basically, yeah. And
it makes what PewDiePie did seem
arbitrary.
Pale in comparison.
Still bad, but pale in comparison.
Yeah.
And YouTube is also, because of this, has kind of rejiggered their partnership algorithm or whatever it takes to qualify as
a YouTube partner.
Yeah, YouTube partner, so you can make a bunch of money off of YouTube.
Even harder for the little guy to get a footing in the YouTube world.
And while not actually touching any of the actual YouTube partners that have the steady stream of subscribers and views. So if this dude didn't get directly pulled down, all of the changes that YouTube made in response to this problem wouldn't have affected him if he didn't get targeted as like an extra fix specifically.
Yeah.
So
they're using it as an excuse to change the way it works so they keep the big cash cows and don't have to worry about the smaller. It's the same thing mm-hmm. that Patreon was going to do a couple months ago, where they were changing the fee structure to the point where it hurt the little guys that were making a couple bucks here or there.
Yeah.
And and keep the cash cows that made a lot of money.
That's exactly it. Now, there is an argument to be made that a lot of the little guys that are being affected by this are just channels that rip and steal videos from the larger guys, re-upload it to their accounts and monetize it and kind of cheat the system. And that has been a problem. And
but that's something that YouTube should take care of and not
blanket punish.
There's a better way they could handle that.
I totally agree, but I can at least see that aspect of it. This is also demonetizing a lot of those like weird, like, just random search term like Elsa Spider-Man birthday party feet.
that they recently got in a lot of trouble for too.
Yeah. So this is demonetizing a lot of those like videos.
Yeah. You can't even monetize your video until you have so many subscribers now. Not views.
Thousand subscribers.
Yeah, which is a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot more than the 100 that we're asking for just to get a vanity URL. And I mean, believe it or not, it's going to affect us as well, because any video that we've put up prior to this has had a custom
thumbnail
on it. You know, a little bit of art just to kind of, you know, make it look kind of fancy. Make us look, you know, fake it till we make it look a little bit professional. Hey, that is the name of the game here. That is like the bread and butter of our brand is fake it till we make it. Let's be honest. But like, it's going to affect us because we're going to lose that ability, and it's going to make all of our content look that much less legitimate. And
unless we get grandfathered in somehow,
I honestly don't know how we're going to. I'm kind of looking into it and seeing what I can.
Well,
what
we'd
I can
have
do about
to make
it, but
more content first before we get before anybody's going
to
subscribe.
Well, this is an argument. This is something to be talked about off the air. But what I'm saying is, it's affecting everybody. And we are
everybody
ostensibly part of YouTube.
Yeah.
Very much on the periphery.
Yeah, I mean, it's not our main focus, that's for sure.
Definitely, but we're there, and we're being affected just like everybody else. And it's frustrating because the people that really should be kind of getting a good hard look at, like the Logan Pauls and, well, like his dumb brother that does the same stuff.
Yeah.
They're not going to get touched by this. And that's...
And they're the problem.
Right. They're the problem. They're the problem. Yeah. And this guy, you know, just because he's no longer on YouTube doesn't mean his revenue is going to end. He can take his stuff to Instagram.
Yeah.
He can take his stuff to Vimeo.
Got a video thing now.
Facebook video. And 90%.
Mine's supposed to come back here pretty soon, too.
And 90%
of his. I thought that dog was dead.
Yeah, right. 90% of his revenue stream comes from merchandising, selling t-shirts to tweens and six-year-olds.
And I feel bad for the kids who thought they needed to defend him after this happened. Because they don't know any better.
They don't know.
And it's just kind of sad.
Yeah.
All they see is this guy that they look up to being attacked by people, and they don't understand how what he did was really distasteful and wrong.
Yeah. You know, if anything good can come out of this, I think maybe parents will take a kind of a little bit harder of a look.
Oh, yeah.
At what their kids are viewing on YouTube.
I mean, I don't have kids. I don't know. But I would never give my kid an unfettered access to YouTube.
No.
There's just too many weird.
There's too many dark corners in there.
Yeah, it doesn't have porn on it, but still, there's weird stuff.
But yeah, there's too much weird stuff on there, and
it's like you know, they have kids shows that are made by people who know about, you know, educational sciences.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could sit down your kid in front of YouTube where there's a kid show made by a stranger down the street. Like, it's like I could have my kids watch PBS, or I could have creepy neighbor Larry put on a puppet show for him. I mean, that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
You're letting this stranger, you know,
put on a puppet show
in front of your kid.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems this is just another step in YouTube looking at a problem and making, like, the exact wrong response to it. I don't know.
It feels like the nuclear option.
Yeah. Blanket punishment for everybody and by everybody
with
the little guys.
But the city they've targeted is not the one that that made the mistake.
Yeah, it's like the next town over.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we have a couple of quick hits here before we wrap things up. First off, the Flash live-action DC
movie.
Universe movie, Flashpoint. It's getting a couple of new writers, I guess. And the weird thing is that they are comedy writers, which on the outset sounds great. The Flash was one of the funnier characters in the Justice League movie.
He's a quippy, funny guy.
Problem is, if you know anything about comic books, Flashpoint was a very super-duper serious and really kind of a bummer story.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they're going to turn it into a comedy where the Flash goes into a parallel universe where Aquaman and Wonder Woman are the
Bad guys,
and Batman is actually Thomas Wayne, Batman's dad, who has a gun and
has no qualms
and
capping fools.
It caps fools left and right, and everything sucks. And the Flash made everything bad.
Yep, it's his fault too.
Also the guys that wrote Spider-Man: Homecoming,
that comedic tone would not fit this kind of story.
Yeah. It's John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein.
Okay, what all have they done?
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2.
Okay.
Game Night, the reboot of National Lampoon's Vacation.
Was that the one with the one dude from The Hangover in it?
Ed Helms, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep, he plays Rusty, grown-up Rusty. Yeah.
And that's all I got.
Okay, well, that is quite the pedigree for this super serious superhero movie. Here's the thing. I don't know why DC feels the need to rehash Flashpoint again, because they've done an animated film of this.
That was actually quite good.
Yeah, and the Flash TV series season...
Three or four,
something like that.
Yeah, they went into Flashpoint.
Three quarters of that season was that storyline, and it was a bummer. I don't know why they feel like they need to keep...
Because it's a popular storyline for the Flash character.
But it's been done.
It's
been done. Here's the thing. It's not that popular. People didn't like it when it was being released. It's what made New 52.
It's one of those things where people didn't like it at first, but then it grew on him, like Wind Waker?
No.
No?
No.
Honestly, in my opinion, the only really super interesting thing that came out of Flashpoint was the Thomas Wayne storyline stuff.
And I hate Batman with a gun.
Oh, no, I do too.
So I don't want to see it. Okay, conspiracy theory time. Zack Snyder loves Harry Dean Morgan. Is that his name? The guy from, he was the comedian in The Watchmen, and he was Negan in Walking Dead, the guy with the bat and the leather jacket. Zack Snyder loves that guy and loves using him in movies. He, for one scene at the beginning of Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, he was Thomas Wayne.
Yes.
He got shot.
Zack Snyder, it was his fault.
It was his fault. He was super aggro in that. Don't watch that movie, but watch the first 5 minutes because that's what happened. That it's in it. Anyway, Zack Snyder loves that actor. Loves the idea of super, super violent Batman.
Gun Batman.
Because they had that dream sequence in Batman versus Superman. Again, I kicked my computer parts. It's okay. He wants to see the comedian in a Batman costume holding a gun.
It's what he dreams
And they're going
about.
To make an entire
it's what
Flash
he dreams
movie.
About at night.
Honestly, I'm not sure if that's actually the case. So he's going to make or produce an entire Flash movie, ruin a Flash movie so that he can have his...
He can fulfill this fantasy, this dark twisted fantasy.
This dark Batman comedian Walking Dead gun-haver fantasy. So it's just... It boggles the mind. You know what would be a better Flash movie? The trial...
Literally anything.
Literally anything, yeah. The Trial of the Flash. Have you ever read that story? It's back in the 80s. Barry Allen gets put on trial.
For breaking the speed limit.
Well, what is it called? It's like a hangman's court or something like that, where it's like...
Hangman's jury,
because a judge, jury, and everybody are all Flash rogues. And they put on this mock trial of the Flash for doing something, crimes against the rogues or something like that.
And isn't that kind of like what the Trial of the Teen Titans was too?
Kind of, a little bit. But I think that would be a much better movie because you get like all of the rogues. That's what makes the Flash interesting. The Flash is boring.
Oh, yeah. He has good bad guys, though.
The rogues are the best part about the Flash.
That's the best part about DC characters.
More than likely, yeah. Most likely. Yeah. Okay.
Except for Superman. He's got some weird...
Superman has some weird villains. Once you get outside of, like, Lex Luthor and Bizarro and Brainiac...
Darkseid.
Darkseid's more of, like a generalized DC threat. Yeah. He's not really a Superman.
You get Toyman.
Toyman, yeah, you get Toyman. You get Metallo.
Yeah.
Who's just a guy with a kryptonite heart.
He's a Terminator with a kryptonite heart.
Yeah. God, what other Superman villains do you have? Mr. McSiddlepick?
Yeah, I was going to say
Which
that.
I actually
I
like
never,
him a lot.
Yeah, I can never remember how to pronounce it.
I've heard it pronounced a million different ways. McSiddlepick is the way I usually say it. Mixel Spittlelick, I've heard quite a bit. It's just a bunch of nonsense.
It's hard. Honestly, probably hard to come up with villains for Superman because he's got all the powers.
He has all the powers. Yeah, he has all the powers. Okay, so last story because we are running super short on time. Star Wars fans are a bunch of huge babies.
Fans in quotes.
The fans who, one, didn't like The Last Jedi, and two, have so much free time that they wanted to do something about it. These are the same crybaby man children that signed that petition to have The Last Jedi stricken from Star Wars canon, all 90 of them. They made a... defeminized version of Star Wars The Last Jedi, where they removed all of the things in the movie that they felt that they didn't like. The movie clocks in about 45 minutes long, cut from the 2.5 hours that it was originally.
And anytime a woman says something or something commanding or takes a position of authority, it's gone.
It's removed from the movie.
Also, Poe Dameron dies.
Yeah. he's killed from the movie. So, hey, guess what? I'm making my own cut of Star Wars The Last Jedi, and here's the deal. It's the exact same movie that we saw in theaters, but I'm cutting out all of the fandom.
Yeah. I'm cutting out every comment section I've read since the film came out.
I just don't understand the entitlement that that
I
fans
understand.
I don't get it. I don't
not
get it.
Liking the movie to that extreme.
Yeah.
Like, Admiral Hoda was great.
She was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I can see, like, thinking it was okay, but anything less than that, like, you gotta be nuts.
You have to be nuts to want to sit down and painstakingly edit out over an hour and 45 minutes
because you hate women so much.
It's infuriating.
Yeah.
It's incredibly infuriating. It makes me embarrassed to be a Star Wars fan, honestly. It really does, because
you don't see Star Trek fans doing this.
Well,
there's not as many.
Well, here's the thing. If they made a Star Trek movie where Uhura was the main, like, if she became captain of the Enterprise, I guarantee you would hear.
That sounds awesome.
It sounds awesome. I would love it. But
heck, I loved Voyager.
But yeah.
Yeah, Voyager's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if they made a movie where Uhura had a fleet of all women, you know, Starfleet, all women Ghostbusters on the USS Enterprise, you would probably hear the same kind of arguments. And guess what? They would probably be coming from the same people.
Yeah.
Or types of people.
No, probably the same people. Let's face
all
it.
All 90 of them?
All 90 of them. It sucks. It's stupid. Just let people enjoy their thing.
Stop screaming about forced diversity, because it's not forced.
It's not forced. It's good.
Yeah.
This is good.
If all of the people were aliens, nobody would have said anything.
Yeah.
But because it's women and a black dude.
You can hear the frustration in my voice. Am I right?
Yeah.
It's killing me.
Here's the thing. Mm. We have over 100 years worth of white male-centric films.
Yeah.
Any of them.
Yeah. Since the beginning of the film industry.
I mean, shoot, that first movie, you know, the one with the train that scared all the people? That train was driven by a dude. It's been there since the beginning. Just enjoy your thing. And you know what? If you don't like something, you don't have to watch it. No one's forcing you to watch anything.
Please let us enjoy it, and don't make your dumb 45-minute cut.
Okay.
It's like they made a terrible Star Wars TV show.
I can't keep thinking about this, because I'm just going to get madder about it. Anyway, we've reached the end of the show. Thank you all for tuning in. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us on all forms or most forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel.
I guess.
Yeah, at Nerd Overload TV.
Yeah.
And if you want to email us your bad Star Wars opinions, you can email it straight to the hole in front of
my house.
Yeah.
Just write it on a letter, seal it up, put a stamp on it, and just dump it in the hole right outside my house. Just dump it in a hole. Anyway, we're also we're also on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, so you can check us out over there, including over almost 180 back episodes of the show, about 100 good ones. Again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.